Purity on sinking sand. Soothing winds that seem so sweet turned to gales of sure defeat. As I watched my house of dreams fall to the ground, lost and lonely in my pride, blinded by the fool inside. I was running scared, no place to hide from death's cold hand. Then one called love reached down his hand. He bore the scars of where I had been, and through his blood he took me into his hiding place. Now it will stand the strongest storm. It will keep me safe and warm. In the cleft of the rock, he covers me. Let lightning flash and thunder roll. Now there's peace in my soul, 'cause into safety I can go to shelter strong. Yes, into safety I can go to shelter strong. Fuck, he covers me. Aren't you glad he's covering you tonight? Hallelujah. He covers us by his precious blood. I'm glad for the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he made a way for us. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I'm glad that I'm not still hooked on drugs. And glad that I'm not still running with the devil on the highway to hell, but I'm walking with Jesus and running for my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Leviticus 6, chapter 6, and verse 8. Leviticus 6, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches. I guess that's what we'd say, breeches or trousers. If you need a proof text that men ought to wear trousers instead of dresses. and other accoutrements and apparatus. Here you go. Shall put upon his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. In verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. So I'd like to preach tonight for a couple of minutes on the subject. Don't let the fire go out. Hallelujah. The Lord's been blessing the Highway of Holiness Church for the past several nights. The Lord has been moving. People have been saved. People have come back to God. People have been filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost. People's lives have been inspired. Some that weren't coming are coming back now. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has visited this place. He's rekindled the fire in many lives. It has gone out. The flames that have begun to flicker. The Holy Ghost wind has come by and begin to move again and fan the flames of fire. Don't let the fire go out. The evangelist, Brother Atkins, has been preaching so wonderfully in the services every night, and I'm thankful to the Lord that he came. I have been helped. I have been blessed. I've been inspired. I've been rejuvenated. The message that he preached last night was a message, if it wasn't for you, I believe it was, but it was especially for me last night. I've been tired. I've been dragged down, traveling on the road and all the other places where I've gone. Hey, preachers need help from God. Hey, preachers need to be rekindled. Their fires need to be rekindled. And I'm thankful that this revival has revived me.
Hallelujah.
My fire wasn't out, but it wasn't up to the white hot flame that it has been before and that it needs to be again. And so we need to remember that maybe if the evangelist has to go on down the road and go to some other meeting someplace, it doesn't mean that revival can't continue here at the Highway of Holiness. It doesn't mean that it has to die out. Don't let the fire go out. The fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I don't want the fire to go out in my life. I want it to keep burning. I want the white hot flame of the Holy Ghost, of the fire of God, of the presence of God, and of the power of God to continue burning, to continue the fire to continue on. Even though the evangelist might go, might leave, we can still have the fire of God. Hallelujah. Don't let your fire go out. No matter what happens, keep your flame burning. Hallelujah. Keep the good wood, the good fuel coming into your life. Carry out those ashes like I read to you. Carry out the ashes and keep putting the fuel there and let that wind, the Holy Ghost wind, fan that flame. Keep that fire burning hot and keep it burning long, because that's what we're going to need to keep our walk with God. We're going to have to keep the fire burning. Don't let the fire go out. There's things that can extinguish fires. I'm going to talk tonight about four of them. Four fire extinguishers that we don't need. Brother Collins and I drove one of the vans up to Columbus and had to get some new license stickers for the vans. And he was telling me about how that the government regulations required that they put new fire extinguishers in the bus and in the van, and that was what was required there, and that's what was needed. But hey, in our spiritual life, in our Christian life, we don't need any fire extinguishers. We don't need any spiritual wet blankets coming along and putting out our fire. But I want you to know, just like Brother Atkins preached last night, he was talking about stopping the plans of the devil. The devil's got a plan to put out your fire. Devil's got a plan. He's got a lot of plans to put out our fires and for us to go weak and the fires to go down and the fire to go out, and then that we're not any good anymore for the kingdom of God. So I want to share with you some of these things that can extinguish your fire. So keep them out of your life. Keep them out of your life. One of the things that can extinguish the fire in our life is concerning our associations. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You need to be careful about your associations. I wish everybody that's here at 7:30 was here right now, because this message is for the church. They'll just have to get the tape, won't they? Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Hallelujah. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. We need to be careful about our associations, those that have been saved and fires have been rekindled, and those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. They need to be careful about their associations, because that bad associations can extinguish their fire. need to walk with the wise men. Who are the ones that are wise? Not the atheist, not the agnostic, not the agnostics, not the New Agers, not the backsliders and the liberals. They're not the wise men. Brother Collins and I was listening to a preacher this morning, and one minute he was talking about legalism and you shouldn't put rules on people. Next thing he was doing was putting rules on his people. Inconsistency. That's not wise. That's not the kind of wise people that this word is talking about, that we need to associate with. We need to associate with those that believe the word of God, believe in holiness and righteousness. We don't need to be associating with on a full-time basis. Not to say that we should never go around people that don't believe exactly like we do or uphold the holiness standards that we have. Hey, but if you hang around somebody long enough, what they are doing and how they're living and how they're dressing and how they're speaking is going to rub off on you, and you're going to become just like them. A companion of fools will be destroyed. There was a young man that graduated from a university up in the Northeast. He was about 18 years old, and he was had a high level of education in the high school where he was at. I guess he had about a 4-point average, and his parents promoted him and helped him along in his education, and he got a scholarship to Stanford University out in California. This is a great university out there, one of the, I guess, the greatest in the country, and his parents were very happy with what he had done, so they went out and bought him a brand new van, and he was going to take a trip across the United States on his way to Stanford, take off that summer and have a good time and just travel across the United States and take a look around and go through the mountain states and enjoy himself, his vacation on his way to start school at Stanford University. And so he took off in his van and started traveling across the United States. He got out to Colorado, and while he was, I guess he got a little lonely there traveling in his van, and he saw a couple of men standing out there on the highway. They were hitchhiking, and he decided, well, I'll just pick these men up, and I'll have some people, some companionship here as I travel on down the road, and they'll be with me here, and they'll help me out and help keep me awake, and we'll have us a good time. Little did he know that these two men were escaped convicts from a prison. And so he picked up those escaped convicts unknowing to him. And while he was traveling down that road, these convicts, he didn't know that they were convicts, but they said, hey, let's get some beer. So they pulled over to a beer store, a liquor store, and bought up some beer and began to drink. And after a while, that young man started getting under the influence of alcohol. And one of those escaped prisoners said, hey, why don't you let me drive for a while? You can sleep in the back. It's a true story. While that young man was sleeping in the back of the van, they took some rope and tied him up. When they got him out to the desert, they stole his money and his credit cards and began to spend his money on alcohol and other things. When they got him out to the desert, they killed him and took him out into the desert and buried him in the sand. He was destroyed because he made his companions fools. Beware of hitchhikers. That's a message that I preached before to youth. Beware of hitchhikers. They may be escaped convicts. Be careful about who you associate with. If you're going to keep the fire of God and the anointing of God and the power of God in your life after this revival, after the preacher leaves, the revival doesn't have to leave. You're going to have to be careful about your associations, who you're hanging out with. You need to go with those that believe like you and will encourage you in the things of God and will quote the Bible to you and will pray with you. That's the kind of people we ought to associate with to keep our fire from going out. Many young people, their fire goes out. They go to youth camp, get on fire for God, get saved and full of the Holy Ghost. And then after they leave camp a few days later, they backslide. Why? Because they start hanging around their old friends. start hanging around their old buddies. They start going to the same places they went to before they got saved. Start going back to the movie house. They start going back to the ball games. They start watching TV again, all the smut and the filth and the rot that's over the TV, and sports and the promotion of alcohol and all those things that are done in the media. It kind of drags them down. They begin to do the things they did before, and pretty soon, before you know it, they backslid. Their fire's gone out because of who they've been hanging around. Well, Brother Rick, where I live, there's nobody that believes like me. Well, just you and the Lord get together. Hey, there was many years when it was just me and the Lord. I didn't have anybody to hang out with. The people that was in my church had basically ostracized me. They said, hey, we're going to have a Christian Halloween party. And one was going to dress up like a witch and one like a devil. They said, how are you going to dress up? And I said, I ain't coming. That's how I'm dressing up. Hello. I wouldn't hang out with them because I was in such a state that I didn't want to be dragged down. You see, I had run with the devil. I'd run with the rockers and the dope smokers and all the rest of them. And I was tired of that crowd. And I was tired of the way they were dragging me. And whenever I'd get around them, they'd want to drink and smoke dope and do all the things that I used to do before I got saved. And I didn't need to be in that environment anymore. I needed to be in a good environment, in the house of God. That's why when the church doors open, you ought to be here. That's why with the young people, the church doors open, they ought to be here. They ought to go to the youth camps. They ought to go to the revival meetings. You shouldn't miss a night. Unless you're in the obituary column. And then you'd be in church anyway. Hallelujah. We need to be careful about our associations, because bad associations can extinguish our fire. That's right. The second thing that can extinguish the fire in our life is our communications. I talked about our associations, now our communications. Brother Collins just quoted my verse. Hallelujah, and I'll confirm it. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. When you get saved and you get on fire for God, and this revival meeting has helped you to get that to that place. You need to be careful about your communications. You need to be careful about your speech, because what you say is an indication of what's in your heart. I was on a university campus one day, and this student was using all kinds of profanity and saying all kinds of evil things about God. And I made a statement to them about what they were saying, and they said, you don't know me. You've never met me before. I said, yeah, I've never met you before, but I know what you think and what you believe, because every time you open your mouth, I get an x-ray of your dirty heart. We need to be careful about our communications. When we are associating with one another, when we're fellowshipping with one another, we don't need to be talking about dirty and filthy things, telling jokes, off-color jokes, telling things that don't pertain to good, godly living. We ought to be talking about the things of God. We ought to be talking about this word. It's a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. When I fellowship with you, I ought to be hearing a whole lot of things about the Lord, the goodness of God, the workings of God. Hallelujah. That's what we ought to talk about. When I'm with Brother and Sister Collins, we're not talking about foolish things. We're talking about the things of God. And I'm thankful. I thank God for your pastor. The places that we've traveled, the places that we've gone, it's always been our communication has been on the Word of God. It's been on spiritual things, not carnal things. It's been on heavenly things, not worldly things. It's been on the good things of God, not the corrupt things of man. You want your fire to continue to burn after the evangelist leaves. You need to be careful about your communication.
Preach. Yes, sir.
Fire extinguishers, associations, communications. Third, meditations. You need to be careful about what we're thinking on. Hallelujah, what we meditate on. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. Need to be careful about what you're meditating on. If you want to keep the fire burning, if you want to keep the Holy Ghost moving in your life, if you want to keep the plan of God working in your life, and you don't want to stifle it, you don't want to put the fire out, you don't want to get rid of it, you want to perpetuate it, you want to help it along, you need to be careful about what you think about. Did some mowing today. Finished up the hill there. It used to be after I first got saved, and this could be helpful to people that's just been saved. I don't know if there's any here that's in that category. But even just young people. The devil does his best to attack us in the theater of our mind. You see, the battle starts here. Brother Burkett preached such a wonderful message here, and I got the tape on right thinking, on what we are thinking. You see, that's where sin starts. It starts in the mind. Jesus said if a man looks on a woman in order to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. If a man hates or has malice toward his brother, he's committed murder in his heart. The sin starts here. The wickedness starts here. The germ, the seed of sin starts here. So we need to be careful about what we're thinking about. We need to be careful about our meditations if we don't want our fire to go out. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. When I first got saved, I was in construction work in the city of Dallas and the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I'd get in my car early in the morning and drive to work. And I just got saved. And I was just getting to know God and to love His Word. And I would turn on the radio and listen to different preachers. And I didn't know what was the best theology. I had just gotten saved. But the Spirit of God would speak to my heart because I'd been reading the Word of God. And I heard some teachers that I just turned off, and others I just decided, well, I'll just eat the meat and spit out the bones. But as I was driving to work, I'd see there'd be billboards on the side of the highway. And some of those billboards were pictures that I didn't need to see as a Christian. And I had to rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I don't even want to begin to think something evil. I don't even want to begin to think something corrupt. Because I'd just gotten saved and my spiritual abilities weren't that strong, but I wanted to build up that strength. And after a while, it just became second nature to me that I wouldn't even look at the billboards because there wasn't nothing on there I needed to look at anyhow. You see, I needed to keep my fire burning. I needed to keep the fire, flame, hot, burning hot, white hot. And so I needed to be careful about my meditations, what I was thinking on. Right. You can look at a picture, something evil, right, you did when you was a sinner, or even by mistake as a Christian, and that picture will be in your memory forever. Or at least in this life. I hope it's not there after we get our glorified body, because I want to let junk out of there. I don't even want to be able to bring it up in my imagination. But those pictures are still there. But I have to cast them down. If the devil tries to tempt me in the mind and tries to bring up those remembrances, those things in my mind, if I want to stay on fire for God, I got to be careful. I got to be very careful about what I think about. That's why it's so important that we don't get caught up in the media, that we don't get caught up in the movies, that we don't get caught up in television, that we don't get caught up in a whole lot of print material, because just looking at it plants seeds of sin in our mind, and the devil can use that to put out our fire. Right. let your fire go out. Brother Greg's going down the road one of these days. He said, oh, we had a good revival. Let's go back to status quo. There's nothing to crow about. Let's keep the fire going. Hey, let's keep the flame burning. Let's keep the fuel being carried into the fire. What is the fuel? It's our prayer life. It's our study on the Word of God. It's our fellowship with one another as we build each other up in our most holy faith. That's how we're going to survive. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to get past this thing and get on to heaven. We're going to have to be careful and keep our fire burning. Or the last, I spoke of fire extinguishers, our associations, our communications, our meditations, and then there must be some abstinations. We must abstain from some things. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's why I wear long trousers. That's why I wear long sleeves. That's why I keep my shirt buttoned up. Hallelujah. That's why I keep my hair cut so I look like a man. You don't have to, if you see me from a distance, you can say, well, that's a man. He's got a man's haircut. Hallelujah. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. I'm not a woman, I'm a man.
Yes,
sir. So I'm going to act like a woman. I was preaching at the university yesterday and going through some of the Word of God. And I started telling the students about sissies and homosexuals. I said, well, one of the characteristics of a sissy, of an effeminate, of a man that acts like a woman is long hair. Jesus had long hair. Well, show me, I tell you what, you show me in the Word of God where it says Jesus had long hair and I believe it. It doesn't say that. Show me a Polaroid picture of Jesus with long hair. But all the pictures are painted that way. Hey, a lot of them guys were Fruit Loops. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't an interior decorator. Jesus was a rugged individual. Jesus, hey, I was a carpenter for 16 years. Wasn't no sissies on any of the jobs where I worked. Let's wake up, folks. Jesus had short hair, probably a lot shorter than mine. And men ought to act like men. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. That means that even I might not go to some places because people might associate me with that place. And there might be something in there that's evil. So we need to be careful to abstain from things. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're going to have to abstain from things if we're going to keep our fire burning, if we're going to keep the Holy Ghost moving in our life, if we're going to keep the fire burning, we're going to have to abstain from the appearance of evil. We're going to have to abstain from the things of this world. We're going to have to abstain from worldliness and compromise and liberalism. We're going to have to abstain.
Right.
We're going to keep our fire burning. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The evangelist may go down the road, but we can keep the fire. We can keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Why can't we continuously have revival? Why can't we continuously have the power of God? Why can't we continuously have the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost working in our lives? Why can't we continually be prayed through? Why do we have to continually be praying through? Let's keep the fire burning. Let's maintain the fire. Let's carry out the ashes of the past and put that new fuel in there and keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, help us. In the service tonight, appreciate Brother Adkins, what he's been doing to help us. Appreciate him keeping the fire going in his life. If he didn't have the fire, the preaching would be zero. He had to keep it going in his life. Let's keep it going in our life. And let's keep the victory. Let's pray tonight before the main service starts.
Thank you.